Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Atlanta! Oh, Atlanta. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is Monday, and it was an incredible weekend in so many ways here in the ATL. We saw the Georgia Bulldogs advance to the college football playoff. They get a bye. We're going to get you updated on Carson Beck's situation. We saw the Hawks beat the Lakers, and they're getting ready for the NBA Cup. Whether that means something to you or not, the fact is they're relevant. The team that's not relevant right now is our Atlanta Falcons, who have lost four games in a row. And we are here to digest, dissect, go through this process with you. Mike, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel right now. I'm being honest with you. Part of me wants to completely go off. The other part of me is so frustrated as a Falcon fan because we've been dealing with this crap for 7 years where we feel like we have a shot and then all of a sudden things fall apart. I am not sure how I'm supposed to be feeling today, so I need your help. 404-726-0929. I need you to tell me how I should be feeling about this situation right now. How should I be feeling about where we were and what this looked like a few weeks ago to where we are right now and all of a sudden now, not in the playoff picture, by the way, right, because of Tampa's win yesterday. I need you to tell me how I should be feeling about this Falcon football team. 404-726-0929. Let's start with the obvious, Mike Bell. Quarterback is killing us. He's absolutely killing us.
If I had told you we're going to go through a four-game stretch with zero touchdowns and eight interceptions, you'd say, well, he's hurt. There's got to be something. Well, he's not effective. He's not effective. Yes, the game at one point was tied until it wasn't. And then there were the usual things. Look, I mean, we can get into everything. We can get into play calling. We can get into, I thought it was nice to see some of the play action. Then that kind of became more pistol lay. I don't know. But I really don't know what Zach Robbins is doing. Pitts, I'm done debating what Pitts is. Whoever's fault it is, whether Pitts is personally responsible or it's Zach Robinson, Pitts, they don't make him work in this offense. But I'd like to see Penix out there just to see if maybe Penix and Pitts can create some kind of chemistry, which apparently Kirk Cousins and Pitts are incapable of. Whoever's to blame. This thing has gone off the rails. Now, look, guys, we said last week when we spoke with Coach, we'd ask him, and he said, look, in a one-possession game, he wasn't going to go to Penix. Well, now here we are. The season has slipped off the rails. You're about to lose. If you lose to the Raiders with Desmond Ridder under center, that would be the biggest loss and the biggest embarrassment since we blew the Super Bowl.
No doubt. We are 6-7. We've fallen out of first place, at least as far as the playoffs are concerned. We're still in first place in the division, but as far as our playoff standing is concerning, we have fallen out of first place as far as that's concerned. Now Tampa slides in there. Every game matters now. We went from saying we got some leeway. We can win 3-4. We'll be fine. Every stinking game matters. Here's my issue. We had 12 penalties yesterday. And Mike Bell, do you remember me asking Coach last Wednesday when I said, hey, how do we clean up the penalties? He said, penalties? Yeah. We haven't been penalized. We talked about that already. I said, well, the turnovers. He said, well, we're always trying to fix the turnovers. We had turnovers and penalties, Coach. 12 damn penalties for 127 yards? You shot yourself in the foot. That is an undisciplined football team that I watched yesterday. And I got to tell you, when we made it a game, when we went for two, I said, here we go. Here we go. This is what I'm talking about. And then we completely fell apart, Mike. How the hell are we doing this?
Well, the other thing is, and we'll talk to Coach Ra about this. We'll be actually out there on Thursday because the schedule gets pushed back with Monday Night Football with the team traveling out to Vegas. But one thing which I got, this got me aggravated. I tweeted about it yesterday. I thought we're an aggressive football team that goes for it on fourth down until we're not. And now, so now there's no consistency with a look. I'm not saying you got to be Dan Campbell, but one thing that we've seen earlier in this year. So what is that about? What's changed? Yeah, you don't do it on the road in favorable conditions with favorable down and distance. I don't understand why. Now there's a lack of consistency there. Kirk Cousins is ineffective. This is the worst case scenario of spending. Look, the guaranteed point. Everyone wants to throw 180 million. Just call it what it is. 100 million guaranteed, Carl. And now you've got a viable option. Let's see what Penix can do. Are we literally going to continue to play this game? Look, we'll ask Coach. I told you, you can't ask a hypothetical. Coaches don't answer hypotheticals. But now we're here. We've blown another game. It's a four-game losing streak. We'll ask him on Thursday. Maybe we get a change, Carl. Maybe between now and Thursday, they announce Penix is going to play.
True enough. And they could do that.
I doubt it.
But they could do that. But we need something
to
happen.
You need a spark.
We need something to happen. And right now, we are reeling. 404-726-0929. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. This radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. We are talking with you about this losing streak. Now, I want to take you back a few weeks because we've lived this. If you've been here, you've lived this. Mike said to me, you know, we could still blow this. And I said to Mike, get out of here. Come on. And he said, you know, if Tampa wins more games than we do, they get in and it doesn't matter what has happened in this division. I said, come on, don't stop it. And I said, what do you think we're going to do? We're going to blow five in a row. And Mike said, do you remember 2015 when I started to look ahead? When we lost five in a row.
Right.
In 2015, and I said that phrase because, guys, we started 5-0 that year. And I said, what 5-0 team doesn't make the playoffs? We're headed there. Well, I don't care about the Saints. I don't care about Carolina. We're on our way. I'm starting to look ahead, which is why that is infamous on this show. Infamous is the wrong word. But that is why we talk about it so much. And here we are, Mike. Mike Bell, we are one game away from losing five in a row all of a sudden. And a promising season that we were having.
Yep, and in 2018, we lost five in a row, okay? And look, I get the fans and where their attitude is right now. In the mind of the fans, Raheem Morris is just an extension of Arthur Smith and an extension of Dan Quinn. Now, I don't know if Arthur Blank looks at it the same way. I'd like to think that Arthur Blank says, look, we got to right this ship right now. I'm not an owner who fires a coach after 1 year or fires general managers, especially when you think about how long you lasted with Dimitroff. But I just feel at some point there's got to be a sense of urgency with this organization. And a sense of urgency would be conveyed by switching the quarterback. It's a message, right? And I mean, it's more than a metaphor. It's a real declaration.
It is.
But they won't do that. And I get it. I mean, this is Terry's first year as head coach full-time, not an interim. But I got to hear a different message. We will ask him. We will talk about this on Thursday with him because it's not working. Everybody sees it. It was a Freudian slip, but I also would like to hear from our general manager, who you don't hear a lot from. We need to hear from you, Terry. Terry Fontenot. You drafted Penix. We'd never be in the lurch. We'd never be in the wilderness of having a bad quarterback and no good backup. Well, the guy you invested in can't get the job done right now. Let's see what the young man who you fell in love with can do. And that's, Carl, that's not hype. I just think you've seen other teams would make the move. They just realize it makes it look like a horse's patootie if you put Penix in and he's no better.
All right. Tell us how we're supposed to feel. Where are you at on this? Listen, we can be upset. We can be mad. We can be discouraged. We can be disappointed. All the emotions that are running through us. But I'm just saying, I am really torn because if I sit here, Mike, as I did over the weekend, and continue to think about where we were and how good this looked and how we got here, I don't have the answers. The only thing I can tell you is all the things that have worked against us, turnovers, bad penalties, bad quarterback play. Like, it has been rinse and repeat for the last 4 weeks, and it just doesn't seem like that feels like it should. You're going to tell me or tell us that Mike, this thing is going to get turned around. It doesn't feel that way. I'm sorry. It doesn't feel like that. So I don't know how I'm supposed to feel right now about this team. Do I think we're going to the playoffs still? Deep down in my soul, I do. I think we still are going to the playoffs. But, Mike, we are fundamentally flawed right now. And I'm going to tell you this. As much as we want to complain about Ra, and rightfully so, because coaching plays a role in this, and he's going to take responsibility. Guys, Lombardi could be coaching us right now. Your quarterback has 9 turnovers. Right, this team, 9 turnovers and 1 forced turnover during this losing streak. I don't care who you are.
Right.
Okay?
And speaking of coaches, I was joking around with Chris and Horn and Carl earlier. This is like the Mike Smith joke come to life.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Sacks don't matter. Well, we've had 9 sacks in our last 2 games. And we got nothing to show for it. And then when we blast Simmons up there on the safety blitz, he can't get Darnold on the ground. You know, there's a lot of points. Like, you can finger point. We loved our conversation with Simmons, and we thought Simmons would be a perfect fit here. He's not having a great year, if we're honest, kids. You know, Matthew Judon, we've been calling him out. Carl personally called him out. He finally gets the quarterback on the ground. But when we needed to make the play, we couldn't. Sam Darnold just threw for 5 touchdowns. He had one of his greatest days, his greatest day as a pro. Period. And now people in Minnesota are saying maybe we tap the brakes on the guy we drafted and give this guy some loot.
I don't want to schedule Minnesota ever again. I saw Joshua Dobbs come into our house and beat us fresh off the plane. And then I just saw a rejuvenated Sam Darnold have the best day of his life. I'm done with Minnesota. I don't want to play them anymore. I don't want to schedule them. Mike, every time we do, something miraculous happens like it did yesterday. That was last year when Dobbs was fresh off the plane, and he stepped off the – he didn't even know the playbook, and he beat us. And then yesterday, how in the hell does this guy throw 5 touchdowns? Was it me, or did you guys see our DBs just falling all over the field? Was it me? Did you guys see our DB slipping all over the field?
It's like they were on roller skates or there was banana peels all over U.S. Bank Stadium. I mean, we saw guys, even on the ball where it looked like the ball was slightly deflected at the line of scrimmage on Darnold, the ball flutters. And it was almost like that time Heinicke beat us with the Commanders.
That's right.
Where it's just the things that are happening are so inexplicable. But when you're not coached well, and Carl talked about it, we're undisciplined. Now, granted, there were some penalties. I've never seen holding on a field goal attempt by the defensive team.
Stupid.
I've never even seen it. And I don't think they did a decent job of explaining it. We talked about everything. Pitts He's got to be a big guy. Whatever you think of whose fault it is, Zach Robinson, Kirk Cousins, Pitts. If Pitts has to do a better job running routes, Greg Olsen, who knows a little something about the tight end position, did say, look, here he is. Not a great route, but it still hit the ball. The ball hit him in the hands. Pitts, you got to make plays. I get it. Your number's not getting called. You got to stay engaged. And we're not killing Pitts, guys. We've already killed Cousins. There's plenty of blame to go around. This team has got to do something. They got to do something big. We'll ask Coach about it on Thursday. Because everybody out there, by the way, the fan base, Carl, as I said, they just feel this is another, it's an extension of just the absolute mediocrity this franchise has been since we went to the Super Bowl.
Well, they are mediocre right now. But they have been the last 4 weeks. That's not wrong. I try to judge this staff, this front office, on what they've been able to do and what they've been able to accomplish. But right now, over the last 4 weeks, this team is mediocre. There's nothing wrong with saying it. We're going to come back. You tell us how we should feel. 404-726-0929. We're going to grab your phone calls. All right? I want to know what you think we should be feeling right now as Falcon fans. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know what it was on Sunday. It was ugly. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Let's talk to you. How should we feel today? How are you feeling? Let's talk to Eric in Buford on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Eric, talk to us. How should we be feeling today? Hey, man.
All right, gentlemen. I'm going to start off by saying, Mike Bell, you need to calm down. All right? Stop with the Penix talk. That's not how it's going to go. Carl Dukes, quit being a girl. Get out of your feelings. All right? The Falcons are a team that is led by people that want to fit a square peg into a round hole. If we don't not stop getting into that damn pistol set, we are not going to score points. It is proven time and time again. I told everybody, week one against Pittsburgh, don't run it anymore. Put him under center. Let's run old school football. Let Bijan do the work. And let's get to business and win this damn league. That's it. Period.
Yeah, we talked about the pistol, you know, and again, initially we felt it was maybe a byproduct of Cousins and the Achilles. And maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But I'm with, like, I screamed about it last week. We're down with that. But look, you tell me not to. No, I'm telling you with Penix. Why did you draft Penix? So he's going to sit on ice while our quarterback stinks it up and we go and we fall out of the playoffs? I mean, unless this organization, Carl, can step outside of literally the office and look at the big situation, the big picture, and say, you look like a laughingstock. You know, the entire league thought we were morons for drafting Penix after we gave Cousins the contract, other than the folks that were gaslit in size 285 who only wanted a quarterback that they could relate to. Okay, now here we are. You got a quarterback who can thread the needle, who's shown the ability, Carl. We know what this guy's capable of, at least from his college and a small, small sample size in preseason and when he gets in a game and mop-up duty. But he can't do any worse than Cousins. That's my point. Let's see if he gives us a spark. If he doesn't give us a spark, okay, you put him back on ice, Carl. He eventually gets to start down the road. I don't understand why that's in such an impossibility.
It shouldn't be. And I'm very in tune with my feelings. Very. Jay in Conyers, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, how should we be feeling today?
Hey, guys. How you guys? Hey, the problem is the Falcons is a toxic organization from the top down. We've gone through this many years in and out, and it hasn't changed. And it's at the point now to where I basically look at the games just to see if we're going to make a different mistake than we usually make. And that's what happens. If you look at it, we always make different dumb mistakes. And we're talking about this has been going on 15, 20 years. It's never going to change. We need a competent coaching staff in here who can dictate and take your number one pick that you had, work him in the offense. You know, let's see what he can do. Break up the stagnated offensive line that we have. We got guys who are older on the offensive line that we need to look at and say, hey, we need to move on. But politics plays a part. We're not going to move on from them because our owner is loyal to players. And if you just get to the mindset to say, during the season, I just want to see if we're going to win the division. To me, that's like winning the playoffs for the Atlanta Falcons, if you win the division. Because Super Bowl is out of the question. Everybody sees it. We see it as fans. We're in a toxic relationship. We don't need cheaper food at the stadium. We need better players is what we need. We need top-tier players and top-tier owners and top-tier management, and we don't have that. So all we basically have is a top-tier PR department that can smooth everything over for everybody week in and week out, and you're still getting the same results. It's toxic, and it won't change. Mm.
Jay, appreciate the call. So that's how we should feel. We should feel like this is toxic. We should feel like Arthur Blank is the problem. That's how we should feel. Are you telling me it'd be better with Belichick? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're telling me? That's how we should feel? Jay, they attempted to go out and get better players. They went out and attempted to get a Matthew Judon. They went out and attempted, and Mike just told you, Justin Simmons is not playing great. They went out and attempted to acquire more talent. This isn't a team or an organization that is blind to the fact that they knew they needed certain pieces, and they went and tried to do that. It is not their fault, the people who said, let's go get them, that those guys are not living up to it, okay? I disagree with you wholeheartedly when you tell me this is a toxic organization. We're in a skid right now, and it sucks, but this has nothing to do with Arthur Blank. Because when you say the organization is toxic, you're saying ownership sucks, and it doesn't. This has nothing to do with Arthur Blank. Yeah. Your quarterback, Mike, can't throw a – almost dropped a cuss word – can't throw a touchdown.
Now, toxic ownership is the Jets or the Bears. You know, that's the ones that are just kind of – and by the way, the Patriots – watch the Patriots now. They don't have Brady. Watch what they're going to be now in the next decade. You know, Bob Kraft is considered one of the great owners. Well, maybe, you know, he's just going to be a guy whose team doesn't go anywhere anytime soon. But Arthur, I will say this, just to play devil's advocate to the caller's point, Arthur, you know, was he talked out of Belichick? I didn't like the idea of Belichick's third act. I liked Harbaugh. I thought Harbaugh was such a complete and different idea. It was so outside the box that some people said in a million years it would never happen here. And again, if you throw enough money at Harbaugh, perhaps he would have felt differently. Maybe he comes here, maybe you come up with your plan for what your quarterback succession plan is going to be. Because when Harbaugh was interviewing, we didn't have a quarterback. If you think about it, we didn't. You know, they were going to keep Ritter. So it is interesting that I felt Harbaugh, outside the box, they went with a guy who has familiarity. If you feel this organization is incompetent, now that's not toxic. Arthur wants to win but just doesn't know how and is too loyal to his employees. I'll agree with you there. And the Coach Rob was simply a comfortable fit and okay. And he's charming and he's charismatic and he charms the pants off everybody, charmed the pants off Arthur. But some people feel it's just going to be Dan Quinn 2.0. And I hope that's not the case. And we'll ask Coach about some of these things which may have to change, whether he likes it or not, on Thursday.
Well, that means we're going to the Super Bowl, right? Because Quinn took us to a Super Bowl.
Right. It was good until it wasn't with Quinn.
Until it wasn't. I just feel like you have to give everybody an opportunity to do whatever it is they attempt to do. And then if they fail, they fail.
Right. But toxic is like, you know, some would say you're splitting hairs. I'm just saying, if you're going to use the phrase toxic, that's a different animal.
It's
if you want to say that Arthur, like, no, you think Arthur Blank doesn't want to win?
It's the wrong phrase.
I mean, he's 5 minutes away from having a Super Bowl and the entire legacy of this town changes, you know? And after that, then we can debate that he held on to DQ and Dimitrov for too long.
Yeah, the plan isn't working, and I want to be clear about this. At 2:30 in the afternoon on a Monday, your quarterback in his last four games has zero touchdowns and 8 interceptions. You guys go pick out another quarterback in the league who's done that the last 4 weeks and show him to me, and let me know if they're winning football games. It has nothing to do with Arthur Blank. We're past the coaching search. We're past the hiring process. We're past free agency. We're past the draft. This is our team. And 4 weeks ago, you guys were telling me we're going to the damn Super Bowl. Now you want to kill the entire team and say, oh, it's a toxic organization. I think that's a terrible mischaracterization of this entire situation. I just do. 404-726-0929.
What if, and again, I'll play, by the way, for the record, if you're new to the show, I'm never comfortable playing devil's advocate. Usually I would agree. But I would say that I felt that the idea to go get Penix, unless you just take it at face value that Fontenot said this is a tremendous talent and we can't pass it up because there'll never be another quarterback in the draft that we'll have access to because we're going to be so good, we'll never have a chance to pick in the top 10. That was the way it was explained to me. Did it come from Arthur? It was really Fontenot's belief. See, I feel that I think Arthur Blank meddles. I think we've asked him if he meddles. I'm not a meddler.
I agree.
I think he meddles. And look, if I owned a team, I might meddle. But and you might meddle too if you won the lottery and bought a football team. But it's just at the end of the day, it's results. And Arthur has succeeded in everything he's done except for getting this team to the top of the mountain in the NFL. That's it.
Yeah,
he bought a soccer team. They won the championship in the second year. You know what I mean? He built the stadium. It's one of the best stadiums on the planet. But the one area is just this. We cannot get over the top of the football team. I just feel a lot of our audience right now, Carl, just feels like if Arthur's approaching this as, well, this is just year one of Coach Ra, you're seeing a lot of stuff in the first year of Coach Ra that's making you not want to see more of it.
Well, nothing right now feels good right. about this football team. I said that. There's nothing that makes me feel like we're going to turn the page and move in the right direction. Now, obviously, they can. But I'm with you on that. But that's why I'm asking you, how should we feel? See, we know how we feel, but I want to know what you say about how we should feel right now in this moment during this four-game losing streak.
Right.
Because it's interesting that people are already saying, well, you know, it's the owner. Oh, it's everything but the reality of what it is. Not only are we not playing great, but you guys, it is a quarterback league. Did you guys see Josh Allen last night? Did you watch Josh Allen?
Right.
Josh Allen had six touchdowns. He accounted for six touchdowns. Guess what? His team lost. But Josh Allen played his ass off and gave his chance, a team a chance to win. Our situation is completely different where you look at it and you go, look at all the things that are going wrong on top of the fact that your quarterback right now is in the midst of his worst spot in his career, Mike.
Well, the thing is, and Chris was just talking about it, you know, we have got a run game which works. And it works really well. You ran for 158 yards on the road against a team that doesn't allow anybody to run.
Ran it great.
You did that. Right? And the problem is the quarterback couldn't make the plays. The quarterback could not make the plays. Your receivers, and look, the Ray fumble was huge, just like the block punt in the Rams game. Believe me, I bet the Bills in this one. I know what that hurt. But, I mean, there's moments in the game. Special teams let us down. Ray had a nice return, then he had one that just blew it. It cost us a huge momentum shift. Cousins then, you know, we've talked the throw going to Pitts. I mean, that's a bad throw. If he throws it straight down the middle, Pitts has a touchdown. He makes a bad throw. Cousins is the malfunctioning piece on this offense is Kirk Cousins. Now, the caller a few callers back who said politics, i.e., general manager makes a decision, which then forces the coach's hand. He can't then start the guy you drafted because the impression is, well, why would you give Kirk Cousins the money so you're going to have a guy making $45 million sitting next year? I don't care about next year. We can freaking trade Kirk Cousins. Okay? Somebody would take him. If this continues, you've got to see what you've got with Penix right now.
By the way, the Pitts throw that you're talking about, it's easy to blame Pitts because we've been on him for so long this season. He didn't do anything wrong.
No, that's not on Pitts.
He didn't
Cousins
do
throws
wrong.
It. Oh, it's behind. It's got to be down the middle. He throws it to the wrong hash mark.
Yeah, and it's those scenarios where you hear us talk about Pitts and you think that we're blaming him. That was a situation where he's right spot, right place.
Right.
Ball's not. Ball placement, 404-726-0929. All right, we'll take more of your phone calls as we move along. We have a lot to get to. Dogs have a chance to win another natty. But what is the situation with Carson Beck? Mm. We're going to tell you the latest when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It was a hell of a game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Seeing a lot of old friends, running into a lot of people I knew, hanging out. Saw Todd Gurley, too, by the way, Mike. He was up there.
Oh, man, how's our dude doing?
Hanging out. He's good, man. He looks good. Todd, first of all, he's in immaculate shape. He looks like he can still play. But he was good, man. He was up there chilling, and a lot of dog fans were getting pictures and hanging out with him. But an incredible game for Georgia to win in overtime. And now we know what the College Football Playoff Committee looks like and what they think. And Connor Riley's going to join us at 4. We'll discuss more about this. But I just think this game, by the way, and now with the quarterback situation up in the air, and we'll tell you more about Carson Beck here in a second, but this was one of those games that you say, okay, can you go win with your backup? And they did. And it just shows you, we talk about the depth sometimes and how it's been affected in college football. I thought, Mike, they got a spark when Gunner came into the game.
Yeah, and it's the great debate we've had with Beck about, you know, half the audience, half the Georgia Bulldog Nation has always kind of been lukewarm. We did that poll back in October about him. And look, you don't want to see a guy, if that's his Georgia career and it ends there, I know that Kirby's kind of slow rolling it as is Georgia, and that's their prerogative, but it certainly looked awful to see all the ice, and there's a lot of unconfirmed reports that are using also all those acronyms like UCL and all the other things you don't want to have happen to your pitching arm or your throwing arm if you're a quarterback, but it looks bad. Gunner Stockton, I thought he was taller. You know, he was like Dalton. I thought you were taller. But, yeah, he certainly came in there and gave a spark. How he didn't get concussed on that hit, I'll never know.
Shoulder.
I mean, that was unbelievable, man.
It was. It was. It looked more violent, I think, in
when
real time.
When the helmet
time.
Pops off.
Yeah, yeah. But he got back up, and, again, I give him a lot of credit. That was a big spot to step in. And it wasn't. Here's the thing. They didn't stop throwing the football. It wasn't like they handed the ball off to Trevor Etienne, you know, 16 more times. They let him throw the football around, Mike, and they kept the offense flowing. And I thought it was the energy, first of all, for them to go up-tempo in the second half gave them the energy. Then for your quarterback to complete some passes and then move the ball down the field the way they did to start the third quarter, I thought that was the momentum change. And Texas was flat, and they couldn't get anything going as far as getting stops. And Gunnar Stockton, to your point, he brings another element to this offense.
Now, obviously, he's got to have that throw back. And certainly, you know, Mike Bobo will say, like, you can never, ever throw that ball again. I don't know what that was. And Texas obviously took it and ran with it and got a score. I always felt, and certainly watching from at home, it just felt like Texas missed opportunities. They should have been up 14-3 by halftime. And that would have changed, obviously, the entire complexion of the game. But it just seemed like they could get anything they wanted in the passing game. And then Georgia's secondary really looked confused and out of position. And unfortunately, just Texas couldn't get it done in the red zone. And they had to settle for those. And then, of course, missing the field goals, obviously, as well, which at that level should never happen for a program of Texas.
Totally agree. 6 points left off the board. That's a big deal. You look at the final score of the game, again, it comes back to bite you. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about Gunnar coming into the situation he came into.
Man, the kid played just tough as nails. I mean, and he hadn't gotten to play much this year. That's the hardest part is you don't get a chance to play these guys. The Florida State game is probably the most he's played. But can't say enough about his toughness, character, whatever you want to say. The guy's a phenomenal leader. He made some good plays. And I think everybody else rose up around him.
I agree. I think everybody kind of, you know, said, hey, we got to do better than what we've been doing here in the first half. As far as Kirby, I thought this was the moment, too, where Kirby, maybe he's been holding on to this, but to call out Greg Sankey about the scheduling was pretty ballsy of Kirby. Right. Here's Kirby after the game. This is what he said. Again, he's talking to the crowd there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Well, it means rest for a team that Greg Sankey and his staff sit on the road all year long. We get to take a little bit. Some rest mentally.
And you're going to get it. They do, and they did. And Kirby, again, Sankey's been banging the drum for the SEC and the scheduling, strength of schedule when it comes to the playoff committee. But Kirby felt like, yeah, you didn't do us any favors. Texas, by comparison, had an easier schedule this year.
They did.
Alabama had a relatively easy schedule compared to Georgia. They didn't do anything with it. You know, we'll get into that coming up because Alabama fans are still got a lot of tears in their beer. Don't lose to Vandy. Don't lose to a bad Oklahoma team. But getting back to Georgia, I just felt that the fake punt was huge.
It was.
I mean, that's where you see Texas has got momentum. He feels it. Now, we all go back to the fake punt that didn't work against Alabama a couple years back. This one was executed flawlessly. They moved the chains. That was a huge – and then getting the balls on Kirby to go for that, too.
Yeah, in his own territory. I mean, that was the thing. You are risking the game potentially right there. And that's why he gets paid all that money, Mike, because he made the decision to go for it.
Right.
By the way, the first round of playoffs, if you don't know, Clemson at Texas, Tennessee at Ohio State, SMU at Penn State, Indiana at Notre Dame. Those games will be played, again, December 20th and 21st. We get three games on that Saturday. We get one night game on the Friday. And then Georgia awaits the winner. And, Mike, their path, listen, I'm not going to tell you it's easy because nothing is easy. But I will tell you that it's favorable for Georgia to potentially end up in the national championship game. The byes, obviously, Oregon, Arizona State, they won the Big 12. Boise, they get a bye after being the G5 selection, the Group of Five. But I kind of like Georgia's positioning right now.
I love Arizona State, by the way. I felt so nostalgic seeing them bring back the Jake Plummer, you know, Pat Tillman, old Sparky helmets, and the old – I thought the uniforms kicked butt. I got a kick out of Dillingham with the fans going, Dilly, Dilly. Obviously, the running back who's now become an overnight sensation. We'll talk more about that coming
He's
up with stud. Connor.
He's a stud.
But there's a lot of cool things. The only thing that's not cool is the idea that Boise State's got a bye. And that Boise State's – I mean, they will have to reinvent this process next year because there's no reason that Boise State should be sitting where they are. But, again, and I would imagine with the hue and cry from Bama fans, maybe we go to 16 as early as next year. But that said – It was a fun weekend. It was exciting. The Clemson stuff, Dabo and his team. How about special teams matter? You get that amazing kick return, and they execute. Now, doesn't matter that Clemson lost to Georgia badly, lost to South Carolina at home. They're still in this thing, and Dabo's got to be feeling pretty good about himself.
Yeah, they backdoored into the championship game, and they took advantage of it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Now, they needed a 56-yard walk-off field goal to get it, but they got it done.
Did you give any credence to the argument that Alabama should be in over SMU?
No.
Zero. I didn't either.
Zero.
Now, again, SMU's schedule doesn't really hold up. But, again, guys, you realize Alabama fans, you're trying to rationalize something that you wouldn't even have envisioned 6 months ago that you lose two games, one to Vandy and one to a 6-6 Oklahoma team. Not even remotely in the lexicon of Alabama fans under Nick Saban. So it is what it is. You blew it. And Georgia, like the Ole Miss game, that's a ranked opponent on the road. That's different.
Different. Yeah, it is. And I also think, again, I said this, there would be no three-loss teams in this tournament. There aren't. I think the committee really thought about that aspect of it because you're setting a precedent. You can't do that. If you let Alabama in as a three-loss team from this moment on, every other three-loss team that is going to be in potentially in this tournament, you now have to consider them, and that's just unrealistic.
And FSU fans, guys, it is what it is. They went from 4-12. The timing, you got to get over it. Florida State fans got to turn the page. They got to get Kirk Herbstreit traumatized. Well, now what they're saying is with Gunnar Stockton, Georgia is not. It's been the same argument for Florida State that once Travis goes out, that Florida State got no consideration, and now Georgia's potentially not the same team without Carson Beck under center.
No, they're better.
That's what I'm saying. It's a different team. It's a different culture, and you saw that in the Orange Bowl last year.
Matter of fact, they may be better. We don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, Gunnar's legs brings a whole different element to this. Carson ran when he had to. You can design run plays with Gunnar Stockton back there, and you saw it. His escapability, Mike, they may be better. That's why I'm saying there's an unpredictability right now with Georgia that we don't quite know about that maybe Kirby and Bobo know what they've got. But he said it. He hasn't practiced a whole lot with the first team. So for him to go in there and do what he did, I thought was big. But I'm not going to say that. I think overall Georgia's better. Matter of fact, they're better than most of these teams in this tournament. With or without Carson
now,
Beck.
The 23 Noles team was a special team. They had a lights-out defense. They put a ton of guys in the NFL. But basically, Tate Rodemaker, then later Brock Glenn, that's where you were left at quarterback. Now, we will see. I'm not as high on Gunnar Stockton as you are. I want to see if Kirby and Bobo can do what Ohio State did a couple years ago, and they had to go through a number of quarterbacks to win a championship.
Yeah. I just think that this whole notion, like, Georgia's not an attractive shouldn't be in the tournament because they're not attractive because their quarterback got hurt.
Now, that's BS. FSU fans, you just got to turn the page. You got screwed. One more year, you'd have an argument. You don't have it. End of story.
All right, 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up as we talk about Georgia. The latest on Carson Beck, by the way, is, again, they are awaiting the results of these tests.
It sounds like it sure sounds like he's not going to play in the first game. But, I mean, to see the way that thing looked, Carl, it's literally hanging like he's got no feeling. Couldn't believe he could even take the snap, you know, and get the handoff with the left hand.
I'm surprised they ran him out there. Because in real time where we were sitting, I could not see him not moving his arm at all. Okay?
Right.
All I saw was him run back onto the field. When I watched it back the next day and I saw him run out there, you might as well have had his arm in a sling with the way he ran out there. So I'm surprised they did. But
you got to come out when your helmet's off. Them is the rules.
Yeah. But they are saying that this UCL elbow injury certainly will keep him out of this first round. And Mike, again, I hope he's able to play because, again, this is what you play all season for. But I just don't know. We'll wait to see what they say, and Kirby's got to make the decision on how they move forward.
Some have felt that Penn State and Notre Dame certainly get a nice break. Penn State getting Indiana, that great Notre Dame defense at home. And then, SMU is still it's a lightning rod. Some folks just don't believe they passed the eye test. Look, they came out sleepwalking against Clemson. They spotted Clemson two touchdowns
17.
And battled back.
Yep.
But, yeah, and then, Texas taking on Clemson. That's, that would be a hell of a story for Clemson's rugged defense. I can't understand why Texas, as we said earlier, couldn't convert all that momentum into touchdowns in the first half.
Well,
credit to Kirby and his staff and the defense for making adjustments. But, man, I just thought, I got to be honest, the more I see yours, the less impressed I am. And I was really kind of curious. I didn't see more Arch Manning.
Yeah. Listen, you're not the only one that's not impressed. I think a lot of Texas fans are not sold. I will say this. I think his NFL stock has gone down. Because, one, the injuries are real. He's been injured almost every season, and you have to say, okay, what's his durability like? Two, in these games, Mike, where, again, he throws the deep ball as well as anybody that's playing in college football.
Right.
But some of those easy throws he missed, and I just, I question sometimes his decision-making. But it was not a great game plan, I did not feel like, for Texas. The momentum, you said it, got shifted when they ran the fake punt. And then in the second half, I mean, you got punched in the face again. Guys, they still had six sacks. Georgia still had six sacks on Texas.
Right.
So for all the conversation about revenge and, blocking guys up front, at the end of the day, you still weren't able to do it. And, that had him under duress as well all afternoon long.
I was looking it up. There's no way I can get a Scataboo jersey in time, Carl, for the next weekend. Really want to get one of those for Arizona State. And Genty from Boise State. That's a hell of a season, too.
He's unbelievable. Listen, if you've not seen this kid, he's the best running back in college football in a long time. And I mean that. I mean, he's made everybody. He made Oregon at the beginning of the year. When they played Oregon, they lost by 3 points. He made Oregon look bad. Like, for everybody, it's like, oh, they hadn't played anybody. They're not going to be. This kid is the best running back I've seen in college football in a very long time.
Marshall Faulk went to San Diego State.
He did.
And so I think there's some comparisons there that, okay, you never get the competition. You're always going to kind of look down your nose at it. But this kid just looks like he's going to be a baller at the next level.
He's going to be and by the way, he makes them a hard out. Now, will teams stack the box, Mike, obviously, and say, yes. Hey, let their quarterback and other guys beat us? Of course they will. Right.
And their biggest resume builder is a close loss, of course, to Oregon.
All right, guys, we got more to get to. It's Dukes and Bell. It is a Falcon Monday. And we are talking about the Falcons losing four in a row. We will continue that discussion coming up here in the 3 o'clock hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.